Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on August 13th, 2015. Voted Best Local Radio Show in the Daily Breeze Reader Choice Poll 2014, and we're definitely looking for a repeat. We're going to have those numbers any day now. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages, all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
Wonderful. Celebrating because it's going to be a fantastic weekend. The weather's going to be beautiful, and we can enjoy our coastline. It's going to be just an amazing weekend. Not only, I think the AVP is in town, but it's going to be an amazing weekend.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, and speaking of an amazing weekend, I just want to put this out right at the top.
Yes.
On the show today, we're going to be giving away 2 pairs of tickets.
I'm so excited. This is a great new thing we're doing.
Yeah, to St. Rock tomorrow night, Friday.
Right.
The headliner is Ambrosia.
Okay.
Yeah, so that show is tomorrow night, so we're going to be giving away 2 pairs of tickets today during the show, so stay tuned for your chance to win those tickets.
Right. And is there a specific program, like the 10th caller, 3rd caller?
I think we'll do caller number 3. Keep it easy. We have a guest. We have to talk to them. We can't be fielding 3,000 phone calls, so we'll keep it short and sweet. Caller number 3.
Caller number 3. Okay, yes. Well... and we're going to start at any time, or can people start calling in now, or what?
No, we're going to wait. We're going to wait until we do the announcement. So we'll tell you when to call in.
We'll tell you when to call in. Great.
Yes.
It is without a doubt one of the most beautiful places in the world to live, but it isn't just the locals that get to enjoy it, because we have some amazing photographers in the local community that share our local South Bay with the world. And I'm thinking of someone in particular that I think most people already know. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Everybody knows our guest today. Our guest today is photographer John Post. Yep. John is a renowned photographer, and anyone that has spent any time in the South Bay is familiar with his iconic images of the area. He bought his first camera while he was in the U.S. Army in Vietnam in 1967. Upon his return to the States, he enrolled at El Camino College, where he studied art and photography. After graduating, he took his first extended journey around the world, photographing as he went. Now, this is interesting. After losing his passport in Afghanistan, he was only allowed to move on to India, where he was stuck for 5 months before heading to Australia. He ended up selling his camera to pay for a boat ticket to Perth, where he worked for a mining company. Now, saving every penny he earned, he returned to India and spent the next year photographing it. Excuse me. He returned to the U.S. in 1975 and began taking sports pictures and doing art shows where he sold his exotic images of the Far East in India. In 1980, he turned his camera on the South Bay, and the rest, as they say, is history. Now, this morning, we're going to hear about John's latest project, Our South Bay Coastline, a book featuring the South Bay coastline from Palos Verdes to El Segundo. And members of the South Bay community are invited to get involved by having their names included in the book at no charge. Welcome back to the program, John. We're so glad you could join us again.
Thank you. Hello, Jackie.
John, I heard you kind of groaning there when we were talking about Australia.
Well, you know, that all that was seen so long ago, but that's where it started.
That's where it started. And 5 months in India, huh?
Well, that was way back on the first trip. I've been to India 9 times now.
And
spent over 5 years in country. Had my BA in anthropology based on my studies of a community in India. Mm-hmm. But my main focus for everyone has always been the South Bay.
Right. And you really have focused on the South Bay. I mean, you know, there's that old saying, you never step into the same river twice. And that is often used, and that kind of philosophy is often used when people say, oh, well, I'm in a small town, or I live in a small town, but where I live, you know, it's ever-changing. The mountains, the valleys, the prairie, the ocean, whatever it is that you really love and fall in love with, it can be ever-changing. What is it? Can you tell us a little bit about what you think it is about this coastline here in Southern California that is so iconic and so ever-changing and so fascinating to people around the world?
Well, first of all, we do have some of the best and most beautiful beaches in the world.
Right.
Especially to be right next to a major city like Los Angeles.
Right.
I'd say the end of that lead-in story about the beginning, mm-hmm. when I was just starting to focus, to see the art in the beach that we live on, back in the late 70s, there was a famous artist his name slips me right now, mm-hmm. but his quote was that a good artist needs no more than an acre of land in a lifetime to never run out of good images.
Mm.
And I decided to make the South Bay, in particular Manhattan Beach, but the South Bay, my little acre of land to focus on. And that's what I've been doing for the last 40 plus years.
It's ever new and ever rich. What kind of weather do you enjoy most?
Well, you know, I shoot pictures at any time of the day. I tell people I shoot the pictures when they need to be taken.
Yeah.
And just the other day, someone asked me, do I ever get tired of taking pictures of the Manhattan Pier?
Yeah.
And my response was that every time I see the pier, I see it like I've never seen it before. Every time is a new time.
Right.
And I feel kind of fortunate that I see the beach and the environment new each time I look at it.
Right.
And that always fascinates me, and it always allows me to see new little intricate things that are happening that I might not have seen the first many times.
Speaking of the pier, John, it's interesting because we all have seen your images of the pier. You've taken many of them. And I just happened to see one again last weekend at the AES show. California 101 show at the AES plant. And you had a big blow up of underneath the Manhattan Beach Pier. And it didn't look like any other image I've ever seen of the pier.
No, that's kind of a new shot I did back in 2013. It's called Aqua Sea Below the Manhattan Pier. And this is kind of an interesting story there. For many years, for 30 plus years, I actually avoided shooting pictures underneath the pier.
Hmm.
It just never, I never saw that as a artistic scene. For some reason, it just never, I never saw it that way until 2013. And in 2013, things happened to come together, and I just went down and shot that picture. Almost that simple.
It's a gorgeous shot. As he said in the title of it, the water is aquamarine under there. It's a beautiful color. It looks almost like the water you see in the tropics.
Exactly. Yeah. And we get those conditions in the shallow areas of the water around Manhattan Beach, especially several times a month, or maybe once or twice a month during the spring to fall season.
Mm-hmm.
The conditions have to be particular with the light overcast and level of the tide and all this stuff. And it just happens to, one day I saw the water and thought, gosh, maybe I'll go check out this picture underneath the pier for some reason. And I happened to have there was a parking spot waiting for me at the parking lot by the pier, which I dictate whether I take a picture or not.
Right.
And so everything came together on that day. I went down, shot the picture, and that was it. And I try to do things in a different way. And again, I try to see the pier new each time I see it.
Hmm. So, you know, when we talk about the inspiration for art, lots and lots of, there's this new sort of theme that's running through the art world, whether it's sculpture or photography or fine portraiture or whatever, that, you know, we have to find something new. We have to do something new and different because everything's been done.
Mm-hmm.
But everything hasn't been done, has it?
Well, I think we're in this new digital age. People are a little bit stretching. Well, I won't say. In this new digital age, people have to be a little bit more shocked,
right,
before they really stop and look. Shocked in the sense of, wow, I've never seen that before, or I've never seen it portrayed in that way before. One of the new tendencies is to, in order to make something different, you make the horizon crooked and call that art. I'm not into that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a straight shooter and just try to make the scene, dare I say, picture perfect, even mm-hmm. though it's not. There's a quotation, I think it was, forget the name, but artists should shoot what is there, not what they see.
Mm.
Oftentimes we get muddled up with all the little things that are there and not see the scene itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I try to capture.
Well, first off, Joe, mm-hmm. to answer what you just said, again, I went to the AES plant for the show. I actually went twice over the last 2 weekends, and there's a ton of stuff in there I've never seen before,
right.
as far as art goes. So that's, you know, people are incredibly creative, and going back to John's picture of the underneath the Manhattan Beach Pier, not only the water was a color I don't think I've ever personally seen before, but the pier itself. I don't know what time of day it was taken, but it was golden.
Well, you know, I shot that about 12 noon. Actually, 11:30, 12 noon, but under the pier and exposing for the pier. I don't know that most people, when they shoot under the pier, expose for the areas that I did and on that particular scene. And,
yeah, it's a very beautiful.
You know, sometimes
when I take
a picture, and I've told people this for many years, I feel the picture as opposed to see the picture. One of my strong suits has always been composition. And up until last year that I had two cataract surgeries and now I can see for the first time, in years, I can actually see detail for many years. I literally would feel the scene because I couldn't see the detail. I could just basically see the major shapes and stuff and compose those.
Now, John, slow down a minute. When was your cataract surgery?
A year ago, August.
A year ago.
Yes.
And you're saying before that, for several years, you could not see detail of a significant kind in both eyes?
In both eyes. And especially in the last few years, it deteriorated to the point where I couldn't recognize people that I knew 20, 30 feet away.
Right.
I could recognize who they were from their familiar shapes and whatnot, but the eyesight deteriorated. It was kind of funny at the end. My wife was calling me Mr. Magoo.
I'm really glad that we can chuckle over this now.
Yeah.
No, it was cataract surgery is a phenomenal thing.
Wow.
Phenomenal thing. And so I'm shooting new pictures. I'm looking in. I find myself doing more detailed pictures that I never did before. It's kind of interesting how it's evolving, and the pictures that I'm shooting now. There's little more intricate things happening in the pictures and telephoto, using more telephoto lens and things that I couldn't do with my big cameras that I've been shooting for 30 years.
Right.
I'm going through a whole new kind of renaissance of image making, it seems like.
Wow. Well, there you go. Ever new, johnpost.com, just iconic imagery, beautiful prints. Let's talk a little bit about, just for a moment, John, let's talk about technology. You're shooting digital now, right?
For the last 5 years in particular, I've really made the transition to the digital. A couple of reasons. One is convenience. For 30 years, I shot the big panoramic film camera,
mm-hmm.
which you shoot the picture, you get the film processed. By the time you get the image back, it's a week and a half or 2 weeks
right.
before you actually see what you got.
Right.
It didn't fit into the workflow. The new digital formats, it just fits right into the workflow. You shoot the picture within a day. You see the results, and it's kind of an interesting process. It all happens so quickly.
What's your favorite camera?
I've always, other than my big panoramic Fuji cameras, I've always been a Nikon person,
mm-hmm.
I've had three little digital cameras now. I've had my first little digital camera was an 8-megapixel point-and-shoot Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
That broke
mm-hmm.
Several years ago. I moved up to a Nikon better quality 12-megapixel point-and-shoot,
mm-hmm.
which was really nice till that broke. And then in 2012, Nikon came out with a new little camera that has a tremendously long lens, and I specifically got the camera to shoot a picture of the Space Shuttle Endeavour coming down Crenshaw when it was on its move from LAX to the Science Center.
Yeah.
And this picture, you can go on the website and see this picture. As it's coming down Crenshaw, you see the wings blocked by the poles and the trees and all the people around it. It's quite an interesting picture. And I got this camera specifically to shoot that picture, and I use this camera all the time now. And that's what I shot the Under the Pier picture with.
And what camera is that, from Nikon?
They don't make it anymore. You don't see a lot of publicity about it. It's a little 16-megapixel camera called a P510.
Yeah. So
I'm not a mainstream camera shooter
mm-hmm.
in the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
The cameras change so quickly and frequently, and you need upgrades and stuff. So I just use less expensive cameras that just shoot the pictures I need to shoot.
And when they break, you get a new one.
If you break and get a new one. Somebody said, in the old days, you just needed to upgrade your film because they would come out with new films all the time. Now you have to upgrade the camera.
Right. It is, it's very rapid, the evolution of cameras. I think it's just every year. They come out with a new model every year.
All the time. I mean, the camera model that I use, they stopped making that a year or so ago.
Yeah.
And the digital is amazing. The quality is so good. And it still comes down to, it's about the image. It's not about whether it was a 50 megapixel camera or a 12 megapixel camera. Mm. It's still about the image.
There have been a lot of artists, digital artists that have been using all kinds of old cameras that had relatively low resolution, but they really focused on composition. What do you say? Do you have a prescription for composition, or does it just come upon you when you see the image?
Well, again, it's about feeling the image. For me, it's about feeling the image that the eye is attracted to some kind of an item in the scene, be it a bicycle or a tree or a shape of a house or something like that. So the eye is attracted to that. And then you stop and you look at the scene even deeper, and then you start seeing the composition and the feeling and the flow and where you move to make that composition feel right. There's another quote that I have, that everything has its rhythm, and it's up to the artist to get into that rhythm. And if you get into that rhythm and the flow of things, and you look for that moment of what was Cartier-Bresson would say, the decisive moment, where the wave just as the wave starts peaking or the surfer takes off at the right point of the wave, and all these little things that come into play, the bird flies into the scene at the right point. You look for these little moments, and that's when you press the button. Anything else is irrelevant. If it's not at that decisive moment, it's irrelevant.
John, you know, you're kind of important. You're kind of a big deal around here. You know that?
Thank you. I've heard that.
It's a pleasure to talk with you, John. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. We're talking with John Post, one of the award-winning photographer and a great South Bay resident who is focusing on our coastline, Manhattan Beach in particular, and making it that's his 1 acre. As an artist, and it's an amazing thing to see the things that John comes out with. I of course, John, I have one of the iconic pictures that you did of Hermosa Pier when Either Or Bookstore was there.
Oh yeah, the Promenade. That was the nighttime shot.
Right.
Yeah, that was the first shot, the first photograph of the new Promenade.
Right.
And I shot that back in December of 1997.
Yes.
The Promenade was finished and opened in October, and that was the first time that anybody shot a picture of the new Promenade. And it was most pristine at that time. A lot of the things in the picture have changed now just because of wear and tear and different reasons.
Right.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
About my photography in the South Bay and just in general. I've always approached my pictures from the perspective of, I don't shoot the pictures for myself personally. I mean, I do, and I get to be there.
Right.
My job, as I've always seen it, and this is whether I'm here or any other part of the world, my job is to capture the image for other people, to shoot the picture locally or whatever, for other people to see and experience the scene like they've never seen before. My job is to take the images of the beach or wherever, translate that for other people, because I get to be there. I get to experience the air and the wind and all that. My job is to capture that in a feeling in the image for other people to enjoy and experience. That's always been my mission, so to speak, from a photography point of view.
Right, right.
I've told people for years, if I wasn't a photographer, I probably wouldn't even have a camera because I get to be there. What's the point, if it's all about the pictures for myself?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take pictures or do your art and share it with others, what's the point?
Right.
The most fun is when other people, like the Under the Pier,
right,
they see a new picture and they go, wow, that is, they're attracted to it for whatever reason.
Right.
And that means that I've achieved my mission.
There is something very, I'm looking at Aqua C right now.
Mm-hmm.
Aqua C, below the Manhattan Beach Pier.
Right.
And it isn't just the unusual color of the sea or the weather-beaten pier. It's the boot of every post with the barnacles. It's almost like it's a formal painting or picture because all the pier stanchions have a uniform coating of barnacles. It's
a little story about that picture. Couple of things. First off, even with that picture on that right hand side, the pole has the graffiti on it.
Yeah,
and people even like that graffiti.
It all kind of ties in. It doesn't look like it's in English or Spanish or anything. It looks like it's in some ancient hieroglyph.
Yeah, it's a Sanskrit or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It just all ties in. It's kind of interesting how that all works out. And I see this stuff out the corners of my eye and stuff when I'm composing a picture.
Yeah.
And I'm looking to, again, that make that little preciseness to the picture, whatever that is.
Well, you guys are just getting lost in the picture here. We got a lot to get to. Joe, actually, yes, time is flying here. So I'm actually thinking, let's give away all four tickets to one person instead of picking up into two pairs. We only have a half hour left for the show.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we're just getting away from it. So let me go ahead and make the announcement, give people a chance to call in.
Okay, let me say, ladies and gentlemen, the phone number, if you want to call in and ask questions or talk to John, is 714-242-5288. 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question, but something very special is going to happen now. Jackie?
Yes. Tomorrow night, Friday, August 14th, Ambrosia will be playing at St. Rock. The opening act is Willie and the Road Tramps. And doors open at 6, the show begins at 8:30, and we are giving away 4 general admission tickets to the show. So if you would like to win 4 tickets to the show tomorrow night, Ambrosia, call in now. The number, as Joe just gave it, is 714-242-5288. All right, so what are we going to do? We're going to do caller number... Do we want to do caller number 3? We might not even have time for this. Maybe we'll just make it caller number 1.
Oh, the very first caller.
Yeah, let's just do caller number 1.
Yep.
Wins 4 tickets to go see Ambrosia at St. Rock tomorrow night, Friday, August, okay?
That's
right. So you keep your eye on the board. The first person to call in gets those tickets. And would you like me to do... a commercial now, or?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so this segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Briganti, Cameron, Waters, and Strong. It's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters, and Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For additional information, visit the website at bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
All right.
All right. So
we're still waiting for a caller.
We need a caller. We need a caller if you want those tickets. All right.
All in now.
Number is 714-242-5288.
Yes. And I'll remind people as we go.
Okay.
I do have one little more story about that under the pier picture.
Sure, yeah.
Wait, when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Oh, okay. An interesting little thing regarding the Aqua Sea below the Manhattan Pier picture. And this is something that I've run across in the past with other pictures. You know, it's always people see things differently. And people see things in my pictures sometimes that just due to the composition, I assume, and people see things. So it was at the Spring Hermosa Fiesta show that there was this older gal, and she was looking at this Aqua Sea picture, and she was just chuckling to herself. And then a few times she actually started laughing, and I went up to her and I looked. I said, "What do you see in this picture that is giving you the smile?" And she was looking at the picture and she said, "It looks like the backside. I can see a backside of a cow, with the legs and the dark black feet and." Mm-hmm. And I have a picture of a cow from Nepal. I looked at this other picture, and I said, "Darn it! It does look like the backside of a cow." And as soon as she told me that, I could see what she was talking about. Just the way it kind of looks and everything. But I found that kind of interesting how people see things in pictures that. You know, you don't notice until they point it out. And now every time I look at that picture, I go, "God, yeah, I can see that cow in there."
That's great. That is fantastic. And photography is really the art of the last century. I mean, I know that photography began, you know, in the 1700s, maybe even the 1600s, and of course, but it was the 1800s, the 1900s, really, and of course, the 20th century was the century of photography. What do you think, John? Where are things going next for digital art? Of course, there's digital video.
Sky's the limit.
The sky is the limit.
As long as people need to see new and interesting things, and with the digital world, unfortunately, the digital world is making reality kind of dull. Everybody's used to now seeing hyped up things. And I read a little thing about cell phones last year sometime, where this thing with the cell phones, they just due to the format, I guess it is, the pictures that cell phones take, the selfies and all this, it just makes people look better than they actually do in real life.
Right.
And so the traditional methods of photography are really up against the wall of sensationalism, I should say, of overblown colors, the acceptance now of crooked horizons. When I grew up, the experience in school was always the only acceptable crooked horizon as if the picture was taken from an airplane or a boat. And now you make the horizon unlevel and again, call it art. And people have done that throughout history, but now it's even more prevalent. And with millions of pictures taken every day, people are overloaded.
Right.
And so it takes more of a unique image to get them to pay attention.
Right.
To what they see every day. Every day.
You know, it's so interesting. You know, it's like beauty. Art, I think, is in the eye of the beholder. And as you said, John, with millions of pictures, literally millions, maybe billions of pictures being taken every day, you know, with the, you know, invention of the phone camera, it comes back down to, as you said, what grabs you, you
and
know?
With the drones and all this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's looking for a different angle.
Yeah.
Because it takes such a unique thing now to stand out. And I mean, I look at pictures all the time, and some of these pictures that you see in contests and stuff, I look at them and I go, God, that is something else.
Now, are you experimenting with drone photography?
You know, there's some pictures that have been rolling around in my head that I kind of visualize. Over the years, I've done. I used to shoot a lot out of helicopters and stuff,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I kind of miss that. The drones are a nice filler, and there's pictures out there to shoot for sure. But I'm still land based, although I do use my 8-foot ladder quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Including that Aqua Sea picture was on my 8-foot ladder.
Mm-hmm.
I schlepped that thing all over the place. So I am getting up in the air, but the drones, there's a place for them. There's pictures that I have in my mind. I haven't got that far yet.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it happening at some point.
Right.
It's like a cell phone. Last year I visualized myself having a cell phone for the first time. I haven't got it yet. Getting close.
Getting close, huh?
Getting close.
It's kind of convenient, yeah. Yeah.
But there's a picture in particular that I've been thinking about for about several months now that I could use a drone for.
Mm.
This hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And that's the way things work. I'll have a picture rolling around my head for a long time, and then one day I'll go shoot it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you do the Hermosa Fiesta every year, Memorial Day and Labor Day, yes?
Right.
Do you,
coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up soon. And you do the Hometown Fair in Manhattan?
Yes.
Do you do any other shows besides those three?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I have my gallery in Manhattan Beach, and I used to do shows way back in the 70s and 80s, and
mm-hmm.
and it was always fun,
mm-hmm.
but anymore, I don't like to go that far.
Yeah, no, those three shows, you get, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people come by and look at your work.
But just off on a tangent here, one of the most recent things that I did was when the Special Olympics were in town.
Right.
About 2-3 weeks ago, I was working with the Manhattan Host Town Committee, and they asked me if I would put a book together for the Hungarian and the Nepalese teams that the Manhattan Host Town was hosting, and so I worked with the five Maricosta High School photo department students.
Mm-hmm.
And we covered all the events that the Hungarian and the Nepalese teams were doing in Manhattan Beach while they were here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went down and shot the opening ceremonies of the Special Olympics at the Coliseum, and then took all the pictures, edited, and put a book together and delivered it to the athletes before they left Los Angeles to go back home.
Oh
my goodness.
That's 100 we we produced over 100 books, and within a week and a half period of time, it was quite an effort, but it turned out really nice, and it was, that was fun.
Yeah,
and that was different. And,
yeah,
and that was a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
That's amazing. That's amazing. In a week and a half, you can accomplish all of that. Hey, Joe, let's get to our next commercial.
Yes.
And then when we get back, we got to start talking. We got to talk to John about his new book that he's working on.
Yes, so of course. That's
the purpose of the show today. So anyway, one more time, we're giving away 4 tickets to the Ambrosia Show at St. Rock tomorrow night. That's Friday, August 14th. 4 general admission tickets. If you want to win these tickets, give us a call now at 714-242-5288.
Great.
And I'm just going to get this commercial done here, and then we can come back to John, okay?
Okay.
Sure. All right. Okay, this portion of the program is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions, a local advertising agency. Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO, SEM, social media, promotional videos, online ads, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money.
My phone's going to go dead here.
Oh.
Okay, we'll call you back, John.
Let me, okay.
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 All right. So built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes or followers or fake results.
Jackie, I just called you.
Okay. Let me get through this here. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services or products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you not picking up the phone now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-414-8773 or emailing Jerry at youractualizedvisions.com. And to learn more about Your Actualized Visions can do for you, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your dreams today, not someday. Okay,
hello.
We're back.
Hello.
John called in.
Hello, John.
Hello. That's me.
I hear you. Yeah.
My phone's ringing.
Okay. Okay,
we're okay. That's
good.
I'm
calling you, John.
Hello? Yeah. Okay.
We're good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, we have a caller, Jackie.
Oh, okay, great.
Hold on, John. Here
we go.
Caller 2674. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
You're the winner.
Shut up.
Yes, you are the winner.
God. Do you know who this is, Jackie?
Who is it?
Who is this?
Jackie girl, it's Lorian.
Oh, hey, Lorian, how are you?
I'm a winner.
Oh, all right. Somebody's listening and winning tickets. Cool.
That's
right,
what I'm talking about.
Hold on one second. I'm going to, I have your phone number here. Don't tell your phone number, but I've got it right here.
Well, we know who it is. Lorian, we'll call you back when the show is over and give you all the details. Congratulations.
Yippee! Everybody come with me.
Four tickets to Ambrosia at St. Rock.
It's like 60 tickets, right? 60 tickets?
it's actually just 4.
Yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Oh, that was Lorian. She's called into the show before.
Yes. Awesome.
She's a regular listener.
Awesome. So John is with us still. And John, you have a new book coming out, Our South Bay Coastline. And there's a special feature that people can actually get their names in the book. How do they do that, John?
First, they go to johnpost.com, click on the book link, and then add your names. It's a free listing. It's similar to what I did with the Manhattan Centennial book in 2012, which we got over 7,000 people in that book.
Right.
And they just go to the website, click on the book link, and add their names. The book will be out
wow.
in October.
Wow.
I did it yesterday. I went to the website.
Part of the reason I want to include the people is, we always see photographs of the cities and things of our times, but they're usually accompanied by just city officials and their names and stuff, which they get their names published all the time, but not the locals. So in the history of the cities, we never know who the residents were. And I've always thought, gosh, that's kind of a shame because, people that aren't in the city, they're the people that live here, they're the ones that really make the town. By allowing the locals to get their names in, it adds a little bit of fun and they get to participate in making the South Bay history.
Right.
And
beautiful.
So that gives a record for the future. 50 years, 100 years from now, people look at the names. Oh, that family lived in the South Bay. This family lived in the South Bay.
Right. Fantastic. Well, it's very easy to do. I just put my name in.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Yeah,
tell us, Angel, what website do you go to do it?
johnpost.com.
Okay, that's easy.
And then you'll see our South Bay book, enter name, right on the right-hand side. You just click on that graphic there and enter your name and email. And once you verify your email, then you'll be able to enter other names, like your family names, right?
Right, correct. We're not doing businesses, just individual names.
Right, and that's individual names, and you can do up to 10 names for your family.
And, through my 40 years of documenting the uniqueness and beauty of the South Bay, I felt it was kind of time to put a compilation of South Bay images together. I don't know that this has been done before. And after sharing my images as individuals for so many years, I felt it was time to put together the South Bay in one book. And so this will be the coastline from Palos Verdes to El Segundo.
Right.
Comprehensive
and for those,
South Bay coastal book.
And for those who got the Manhattan Centennial book, there's going to be all new images in this book.
Wow. That is fantastic.
And I'm in the process right now of doing the final editing and assembling. The book is planned to be published in October, so people will have through mid-September to get their names in the book.
Right.
But don't hesitate to do it as soon as you can.
Right. Is there any advantage to doing it earlier? Do you get higher in the book? Or?
You don't have to go back under pressure and do it at the last minute.
Yeah, there's no reason to wait. Just do it now.
People wait and then they forget and the book comes out and they go, oh, gosh, we wanted to get our names in the book. That's what happened with the Manhattan book. People found out at the last minute or they waited till the last minute and it was too late.
All right. Well, we're in there. My family's in there.
Terrific.
John, there's nothing like an image to live with your whole life. There's something about it, whether it's a great painting or a great photograph or a great piece of sculpture. There's something about a piece of art that you own, that you live with, and it just makes your life whole. And we have you to thank for that, for many images.
Well, a good piece of art is something that will last a lifetime.
Right.
And one more thing with this book, we're trying to get names of local South Bay residents, and also we get so many vacationers and tourists here,
that and people that have moved out, the part of their family lives out of state, and they come back and vacation here. This is for locals and lovers of the South Bay.
Right.
So just because you don't live in the South Bay, but you come here all the time and your family still lives here, it's for lovers of the South Bay also. Primarily locals, but lovers also of the South Bay.
Right, right.
JohnPost.com. You can't miss it right there on the homepage. Just click on Our South Bay, Our South Bay, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach. Just click on that where it says Enter Names.
And if they have any questions, they can also send me an email at john@johnpost.com.
Now, I have to ask you this, John. I just went through the process of entering my name and my email, verifying my email. Then I was able to enter all of the names of my family. It was very smooth. Who does your programming?
Steve Snively. He does my website, and he handles the name collections for the Manhattan Centennial book for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sets that whole operation up and handles it and makes sure it runs smoothly. And that's Steve Snively.
Okay.
I want to make sure we got a shout out for Steve Snively.
Okay,
yes.
Well, you know who Steve Snively is?
No.
He does my website too. He works for your Actualized Visions.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, Steve is great.
All right.
Yeah, terrific.
Yeah.
All right.
Isn't that
small
funny?
World.
It's
small world.
Small world. Yes, it is. Yes,
yeah.
It is. That's
yeah.
Funny. That's
well,
funny.
Yeah, he's obviously a pro because it's so smooth. It worked just perfectly.
Great. That's
yep.
What I'd like to hear. If anybody does have any issues, they can send me an email that I can forward to.
they can send Steve the email.
There you go.
Hey, listen, John, I wanted to ask you, are you going to be down at the volleyball tournament this weekend?
I might be down there on Sunday. I'm going to be probably going down that way this morning just to check it out. I saw that they have a different setup down there than usual.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I might go down there today just to see if there's a picture, what I might want to shoot some over the next few days. I don't know that I'll be shooting the actual games themselves. I might be doing an overall shot. But we'll
right.
See how that goes. I've shot that thing so many
yes.
times that, again, I'm looking for some unique little different thing that I haven't done before or I haven't seen anybody else do. So, but I'm
yeah,
sure the drones will be out there and everybody else. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you mentioned they're doing something different. They're doing this sky deck.
Yeah,
if you get a chance to go down there.
I saw the back of that.
Yeah,
yeah, quite the platform.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going to be, it's called the Sky Deck, and yeah, so they're doing something a little different, so go down and check it out.
So right. I'll probably have my ladder out and walking around there on the sand somewhere.
You know who I ran into? You know who I ran into at the CA 101 exhibit last weekend? We ran into Robbie Huta.
Oh, Bob, yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
we go back,
yeah, we ran into
ways
him.
Back.
Yeah, yeah, he had...
He's another legend of the South Bay. I tell people Bob was the first one to document the South Bay with a camera.
Yeah, he was. He was. I've been to some of his shows, and there's stuff in there you just can't believe it. I mean, like, he's been documenting it like 60 years or something like that.
Since the 60s, he is the first one to document the South Bay Beach. And it's intersections and things like that. And he's somebody that I would recommend that you have on your program. I don't think Bob gets enough credit for the base, photographic base that he laid down over his many years, especially in the volleyball tournaments and such, photographing those. I mean, he was such a key instrumental photographer in laying down the base that pretty much all other photographers what do they say, they stood on the shoulders of giants to get to
yep.
the top. Well, that's he's one of those shoulders that everybody stood on.
Yeah,
and
I think he was the first guy I think he was the first guy that sat up on top of the pole.
Yeah.
That holds the net and to take pictures of it. Yeah.
He was the original volleyball photographer for sure. And
he had a piece at the AES show. Yeah, so we ran into him there and we were chatting with him. So
cool.
I bet he'll be down there.
Cool. Yeah, I would definitely recommend seeing if you get him on an interview, because he is, if you think I'm a legend, he is a legend. I'm a legend number two. He is a legend number one.
Well, Joe, we're lucky. We've got these great people documenting the place we live.
It is true. It is a great thing. And John, you know, we have a few minutes. I would like you to give just a minute, minute's thought to my daughter wants to be a photographer. What advice would you have for young people who want to pursue the life of a photographer?
Well, there's so many different areas of photography. I mean, for years I would tell I tell kids, hey, if you can't be an astronaut, if you want a good job, if you can't be an astronaut, be a photographer. I've had the privilege of photographing 5 space shuttle launches down at the press site over the years, and astronauts. I mean, that is a life of talk about giving your life to society, something like that, to promote the future of humankind is great. A photographer, I couldn't imagine a better job, a better career, a lifetime career, just because you get to do things that most people only dream about. And so it's a great career. Depending on what field you want to go into. As an artist, of course, that's a difficult field because everybody wants to be an artist. And I would tell people the first thing to do is quit your day job. If you want to be a successful photographer or artist, you have to dedicate 110% for your whole life to what you do. But it's a great job. Nowadays, we have a different kind of photographer. We have a different kind of photographer just because we have so much availability through the digital world. So everybody's a photographer until you ask them what they do for a living. And then there's something else. But so the name is, the word photographer has become a little bit diluted, because who's real and who's not has been confused in the digital age. And so with the digital camera, you take enough pictures, one of them's going to be nice or great. And you tweak it in Photoshop, and it turns out to be great, but it never leaves the computer.
Right.
But no, it's a great career. Have her come down to the gallery and talk to me. I do give little individual classes, photography classes, on how to see the picture. But anybody interested in photography,
do that regularly,
come see me.
By appointment, how do you do that?
By appointment, just call me up or email me, and then we'll discuss it and have little 4-hour sessions.
Yeah.
And I'm always interested to introduce people to photography. It's a great career. I couldn't imagine doing anything else myself.
Right.
Of course, I've been lucky in that way.
Okay. Well, it's been great talking with you, John.
Thank you very much. I hope I did say the right things.
Well, know. I'm not sure that you could have said anything better, but maybe we'll try again and see if there's more to say. We'd love to try again. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with John Post, iconic photographer here in the South Bay, who has made his stand. His 1 acre is the South Bay, Manhattan Beach in particular. It's a wonderful thing. And please, johnpost.com. and click on Our South Bay. Enter your name for the upcoming book so that you can be a part of this history. And thank you, Jackie.
Always a
pleasure. Be part of South Bay history.
Be part of South Bay history. This is just the second show of the week. Tomorrow we have Manhattan Beach 360. Please join us again tomorrow at 8 a.m. We'll see you then. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye, John.
Thank you very much. Do appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye, Jackie.
Bye-bye, John.